several miles off the main highway. Tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow, talk to me nice.
And it is time for another Grape Encounter. David Wilson here. Now, you know, I had planned on doing a completely different show this week, but as often happens in life, something off the wall occurred and suddenly had me heading in a completely different direction. I was sound asleep, dreaming like there was no tomorrow, when something really, really weird happened.
David, I need to talk to you.
Whoa, you talking to me? Who are you?
It's Michael, your show announcer.
Michael? What are you doing in my bedroom?
I'm not in your bedroom, David. I'm in your head.
What are you doing in my bathroom?
Not that head. I'm in your dream.
Michael, what are you doing here?
I know you, and we've already planned next week's show, but I really think you should consider doing something completely different.
What? Michael, can this wait?
Do you remember the beginning of last week's show when you talked about the 12 things you most wanted to instill in Grape Encounters listeners?
Yeah, I remember. What about it?
You were stressing after the show because you only had a few minutes to share those thoughts, and you wanted to make sure that people understood what you're getting at. You remember what you talked about, don't you?
Yeah, I know. I talked about the fact that wine rules are made to be broken and that people shouldn't be afraid to play with their wine and that wine shouldn't be reserved for special occasions.
Right. And you told people not to fear winemakers, that they're just like you and me, and that there's a lot of inexpensive good stuff out there.
Yeah, and I reminded listeners that wine is a powerful aphrodisiac and peacemaker that can settle differences and pep up your performance.
So, do you remember when John Gilbert, the general manager of the Sheraton Fairplex, invited you to attend the huge wine tasting event Fun Decanted at the LA County Fairgrounds? Well, I'm thinking that event is going to be the ultimate example of what you've been preaching, and I really think you need to go.
Yeah, I know. I'd really like to go, but I've been on the road so much lately doing wine events for weeks. I really need some downtime.
There'll be plenty of time to rest when you're dead. I think you'll love this event. You'll see hundreds and hundreds of cool, everyday people experiencing wine the way it should be experienced, the way you're always encouraging people to enjoy it.
Yeah, and if I don't go?
Then I'll be in your dreams every night for the rest of your life.
Michael, can you see everything going on inside my head?
I sure can.
Ooh, so this is just between you and me, right?
Well, that all depends.
On what?
On whether or not you come through with that raise we've been discussing.
Okay, so the long and the short of it is I decided to attend Wine Decanted last weekend, and I took my microphone so I could share the experience with you. Now, there were hundreds of fabulous wines to try, and gourmet fare that was being served out of those specialty food trucks, you know, those chromed-up rides that we used to call roach coaches. People were savoring pinots while they grazed on perfect pitas, and they snacked on gourmet grilled cheese as they sipped Grenache. Now, the best part of it all was that hundreds of down-to-earth wine lovers were thoroughly enjoying extraordinary wine in what I can only describe as a totally lighthearted, party-going, festival environment, no pretentiousness. Now, one of the surprising things I discovered last weekend that I'm certain most people don't realize is that there's a fully functional farm on the Pomona Fairplex grounds, which supplies exotic fruits and vegetables to the really creative chefs over at the Sheraton Fairplex. It's an amazing story, and it turns out that at the event, the Sheraton's executive chef, David Teague, was competing in something they call the Saturday Night Chef Fights. Now, I not only got the opportunity to sample his delicious cuisine, but I also chatted with David about the event, his garden, and much more. You know what? I have to admit that I wasn't planning on coming to this event, but I had your duck tacos, and they were like killer great.
I'm glad you enjoyed them.
They had jicama on them, and not much else because that jicama had
some
sort of...
There's a little pomegranate molasses on those also.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I said that the serving was too skimpy because I wanted more and more and more of it, but I would have overeaten them is the problem.
Order more. There you go.
Those were good. Okay, so they had the competition here. You guys took on a private caterer.
Correct.
So were you worried?
Julio was certainly a talented guy. And, you know, it's at the whim of an audience, but I'm very happy with the way our food turned out. I'm very happy with my team.
Okay, now, you guys have put some in front of me. This looks like a shrimp.
That's a Santa Barbara spot prawn, actually.
I didn't even know that there were prawns in Santa Barbara.
And they are fantastic. They're
right,
maybe
I'm
one
give
of the best seafood items that comes out of Southern California.
All right, I'm seeing some sort of citrus in there, right?
There's pomelo in there, which is basically the last pomelos of the
man,
season that come
great.
From our farm.
Now, talk about the farm. You guys actually operate a full-on farm here on the fairground complex, right?
We do. We have a horticulturalist on staff at Fairplex, and we grow year-round.
This is a luxury that basically no chefs have.
You know, the fair, it was originally agricultural-based.
Yeah.
Everything with the LA County Fair and fairs in general really starts with agriculture. It starts with the pie contest, and it starts with the largest pumpkin contest. So we have a luxury of space, which a lot of hotels and restaurants don't have.
Like 550 acres of space,
actually. We have a ton of space.
Wow.
And, you know, different things grow all over Fairplex grounds.
And these are demo crops. So you have the best of the best horticulturists making sure you get the absolute best fruit, the best vegetables.
We really do. You know, I'm trying not to grow run-of-the-mill things, things that, you know, look different, taste different. That way, when I'm using them in different preparations, it's things that people notice.
You guys have a lot of say in what happens out there, don't you?
I'm a cook, really. And Don, who's our horticulturalist, he knows what grows here. And so basically, I say, you know, can we do this? Can we do that? And his response is, nah, it doesn't really grow in Southern California. We need more humidity. Or yes, we can do it. And then we search the seeds, we buy the seeds, and we go from there.
Now, there's a rumor that you guys had your heart set on being able to grow the world's hottest pepper out here.
We are working. Actually, I've purchased some seed for the ghost chili. But we'll see how it goes.
So you actually have the seed in hand now?
What's that? No, actually, it's en route.
Does it come by Brink's truck or something like that? Because this is a very, very...
It's 25 seeds, and we'll see what happens.
That's it? You get 25 seeds?
25 seeds. Well, that's what I bought.
All right, tell me what I've got here. This next little item here looks very good.
That
very, very fatty.
Kubota pork belly.
Pork belly.
Which is basically the cut that bacon comes from, and we braised it down, cooked it very slowly in liquid. Predominantly, it was pork and a little balsamic vinegar.
Oh, man.
And, We braised the cabbage from our farm, sweet and sour style. A little rice wine vinegar, a little sugar, and toasted caraway seeds. And the combination's something pretty decent.
Imagine this, gang. I'm talking to Chef David Teague. He's the executive chef at the Sheraton Fairplex. They've got 500-plus acres out here, and so the chef's got his own garden and his own horticulturist. That's an amazing, amazing thing. I got a tour of the gardens.
Oh, you get
it
to go
blew
out there?
Me away. And there's this cage that has these strawberries in it, yeah. And I wanted to just kind of sneak in there in the worst kind of way, but I didn't do it, but I wish I had. They're beautiful. They're in hanging pots.
Yeah, it's like our vertical strawberry patch is pretty much what it is.
And are those good?
You know, I'll tell you, we have three different types in there. One's okay. It's a strawberry. One's very good. But we have these little French white strawberries, and the flavor is outrageous. Most importantly, we don't serve those because my executive sous chef and I eat just about every single one. We have no interest in serving them. I did serve them once. It's a small production crop,
and
they're so good.
You're saying you're a hoarder.
I'm a hoarder. I'm selfish.
All right. What is this, a bass or a cod that I've got here?
That is a black cod.
Black cod, which is fabulous.
And we wrapped it in what's called a Hoya Santo leaf. You know, it's one of those things I ran into 10, 12, 15 years ago in Boston. And I saw it once, and I never saw it again. And when I got here, you know, 2.5 years ago, I said to our horticulturalist, Don, I said, can we grow Hoya Santo? Thinking he was going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. But he said, oh, it's up on the hill over there.
So, I don't really know what you're talking about, actually. Explain, please.
Hoya Santo?
Yes, exactly.
It's a leaf. It looks like it's heart-shaped. It's a little, maybe a little anise-y, but it almost tastes to me like somewhere between anise and root beer.
All right, I got time for one more bite. What's
that
this I'm looking at here?
Oxtail.
Oxtail.
And it's braised in figs. Very rich.
Oh, yeah.
Very gelatinous.
So that's it, gang. It was the Saturday night chef fights here at Fairplex in Pomona. Chef David Teague, I want to take a tour of the garden. Could we do that
on the air?
You know
something? Coming up in mid to late August, we have a series of farm dinners that we do out there. So maybe you could come to that.
And these are good wine events, too, right?
About six times a year, they're wine events. So people come to the hotel, and then we tram them out to the farm, and we cook everything over a wood-fired grill. out in the farm at night. It's pretty fantastic. It's one of those things it's oddball. You kind of forget where you are.
And you absolutely don't think you're in California. Well, I'll tell you
what.
We
love doing our events out there.
We will come to the next event, and we will actually broadcast from there. I think we can work that out.
That'd be fun. Maybe you come out a little early, you can cook with me over the fire.
Would you let me do that?
That's good stuff.
Oh, well,
it's the best part of the meal before anybody gets there.
Count me in. All right, I'm in. Okay, great. It's Grape Encounters Radio. David Teague, the executive chef at the Sheraton Fairplex, a really extraordinary chef. The restaurant's McKinley's Grill. Check out his food. He's very good.
Thank you very much.
And we will have more conversations from our visit to Wine Decanted, plus other surprises when we return. Remember, Grape Encounters Radio is brought to you by EpicStyle.com. If you are a wine lover, then EpicStyle has absolutely anything, and I mean anything, you could possibly want there. Go to EpicStyle.com.
The glass is still half full, and there's a lot more in the bottle. It's Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
David Wilson's been telling you for months now about the Vinair Wine Aerator. He swears by it as one of the must-have products for anyone who loves wine. Vinair incorporates art and style while expediting the process of aerating your favorite wine. The award-winning design gives each and every glass of wine enhanced flavors and superior bouquets. Simply pour your next glass of wine through the Vinair Wine Aerator. You'll hear the air gently aerating your wine in seconds, and you'll smell and taste the difference. Grape Encounters' David Wilson has tried various products, but has never found one that he likes as much as the Vinair. That's V-I-N-A-I-R-E. Other devices can leave a mess all over your counter. There's no drip with Vinair. It conveniently sits on top of the bottle when you're through using it. If you'd like to learn more about how aeration improves the flavor of a newly opened bottle of wine, visit GrapeEncountersRadio.com and click on the Vinair link. You're going to love this product.
A little over a year and a half ago, I was doing some wine tasting in Los Olivos, California, and I accidentally wandered into a new tasting room called Sarlos & Sons, and at the time I couldn't even pronounce the name. But boy, can I pronounce it now, because the Sarlos family has become great friends with Grape Encounters Radio. And not only are they a great family to know, they make some of the best wines that I've ever tasted, and they are staples in my household. So I want to steer you over to SarlosAndSons.com, because if you're looking for wines that you can buy that you know are going to be absolutely fabulous, then this is the place to go. No matter what you pay for their wines, I guarantee you that you will find an absolutely outstanding value at Sarlos & Sons. There's not a single wine on their wine list that will disappoint you. This is really, really something that I can recommend with all my heart and soul. It's SarlosAndSons.com. The Sarlos wines are absolutely out of this world.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines at security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at CatalinaVacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at CatalinaVacations.com.
And it's David Wilson here with Brooks Firestone and Stephen Pepe, and we wanted to tell you about the Cellar Classic. It's coming up when, Brooks?
July 30th. At the St. Mark's Church in Los Olivos, in the middle of the wine country in Santa Ynez Valley. We're going to have a wine classic auction and a great time up here. Hope you join us.
And there's going to be some great stuff. Steve, tell them what they can expect.
Got to have some really world-class wines. You've got a 47 Cheval Blanc, a 75 Chateau.
Whoa, I thought that was for me.
No, I'm sorry, David. You can just look at it and drool, but you can't have it.
And that bottle's worth what?
It's easily in the mid four figures, if not higher.
Ouch. And how many wines like that will you have at the Cellar Classic?
We'll have a fair number. We've also got a 1949 Leroy Moussonet which is a very rare wine. We've got a double magnum of a 1989 Diamond Creek Volcanic Hill.
It's the Cellar Classic on July 30th. For more information, go to grapeencountersradio.com and click on the very expensive little button there.
You're not daydreaming. You're just having a grape encounter on grapeencountersradio.com.
And it's David Wilson with much more Grape Encounters Radio, including more of our conversations that came from our impromptu visit to the Wine Decanted event at Fairplex in Pomona. Coming up in just a second, the brainchild behind the Saturday Night Chef Fights and the Forgotten Grapes, as well as a conversation with the very interesting general manager of the Sheraton Fairplex, John Gilbert. But first, a little bantering with Matt Dubow, vice president of EpicStyle.com, as we explore the subject of wine etiquette. You know, I always tell you, do what you want to do with your wine, but you know, there are still some rules and traditions that I think we ought to honor. And so we pulled Matt aside because, gosh, nobody's got more class than Matt. I'm glad your company, Matt, is called Epic Style because, after all, you are a guy with incredible style, don't you think?
Oh, of course.
I mean, you exude class out of every pore of your body.
What do you want from me?
Well, you know what? Lately, it seems like I've been in a lot of situations where I've seen people breaking some pretty important rules about serving and drinking wine. And I'm torn. I mean, I'm absolutely torn because I don't want to be pretentious, but I still appreciate a lot of the tradition that goes into serving and drinking wine. Are you with me on this?
I'm with you. I might not agree with
you're
you.
You're scowling at me.
No, because I think you're talking about me.
I'm not. But first, I'm going to ask you, what is the number one thing that you see people do that gets under your skin?
I really hate when they use their teeth to pull the cork out. That really bothers me.
You mean like when you... You mean like when you put the cork back in and then you got to get it back out again?
No, I'm talking when they cut the foil with their teeth and then they somehow suck the cork out of the bottle.
Nobody,
you haven't seen that?
Nobody can do that.
It's a little harder with the synthetic.
No, you've got to have little pointy teeth to get them in there. All right, so I was going to say my biggest pet peeve is, especially going to a restaurant or even at somebody's house, they bring the bottle out. The bottle's mm-hmm. full, but the cork has been pre-pulled and it is now back in the neck of the bottle.
Oh, really?
I don't like that. Well, what do you think?
I got to say, it really doesn't bother me too much.
Come on, half standards, Matt.
It doesn't bother me. Because I go to people's houses, especially people I know, it doesn't really bother me too much.
You have friends that do that?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
Oh, no.
Doesn't bother me at all.
You need new friends.
No, not at all.
No, they need
Long-time friends.
All right. And probably... It's probably because the bottle was a $300, $400 bottle of wine, and they were saving something for you, right?
Those $8, $10 bottles?
Oh, no. No. Yeah. All right. Okay. So that doesn't bother you. Good for you, Matt.
It doesn't.
Okay. So are you prepared to talk at least about what should be done?
Of course.
Okay. So first step is, if it's a bottle of white, mm-hmm. it should be chilled.
Yes. And you know, a lot of people are chilling their reds now, too. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's with that?
I kind of like my red a little chilled now. Not too sure.
I guess it's okay. I think that the cold tends to hold back some of the flavor.
Well, I'm not saying cold. I'm just saying maybe it's a little cooler than maybe room temperature.
I think when things get warm, they start to permeate smell, like the human body, for instance. You know, somebody works out, boy, that fragrance is everywhere you turn.
Yes.
Okay, so let's first ask this question. If you're going to chill the wine, mm-hmm. should the wine be in an ice bucket when your guests arrive, or should you just pull it out of the fridge?
Well, I think it depends, again, on the type of company you're going to have. If you're trying to really make an impression, I would already have it in an ice bucket.
I would, too. Okay, good. So we're good on that. And, of course, I'm sitting here talking to the expert, Matt Dubow, Vice President, Epic Style. It's epicstyle.com if you want to buy the products. But I'll tell you what, if you're into presentation, that's a place to go. What do you got? 2,000 products?
About that, yeah.
Lots of presentation products.
And more coming out in July.
What's going on with people? They're just crazy for this stuff.
Wine, just there's something about it that people love the romance and the pomp and circumstance that goes along with wine.
Okay, they do. So next thing is this. You have your bottle out. Do I wrap it in a towel? Is that important? or is that not so important?
I don't think it's that important, but then it always seems that I do wipe it off. You know,
yeah, if it's a wire, that seems good. Let's talk foil cutters. Most people don't even have one of those. They don't even know what it is.
I've seen a lot of people open up a bottle of wine without taking the foil off the bottle, and it makes me cringe.
Oh, you're talking about where they plunge the worm of the corkscrew right through the foil, and then it looks like when they pull the cork out, a volcano has erupted on the top of the bottle.
Right.
Oh, that's a no-no.
And that can destroy the worm of the corkscrew and make it dull.
Yeah, that's terrible. So foil cutter is just a little device. What do they cost?
It depends. They could go anywhere from $2 to, say, $8, depending on the style.
All right. And there are some nice kits. Now, I'm looking at this. I love this. This is one of the things I'm adding to my Christmas list of things that I want from you. But this is a corkscrew, first of all, and then it comes with a foil cutter as well. And it comes with an extra worm as well, it looks like.
Yes.
Okay, talk about it.
Where this type of corkscrew originated, and this would be the lever type of corkscrew, is a company called Scrupul invented this years ago. And Scrupul is owned by La Crusade, the pots and pan company. And how this works is there are two arms on either side and a lever on top. And you pull the lever all the way back as you grip the two hands on the bottle and then push the lever down, which makes the worm go into the cork. You pull it back up, and it eradicates the cork from the bottle.
You got to really be careful, though, because a lot of people do it backwards, and then they end up shoving the cork down into the bottle, right? That is a problem.
Yeah.
I've done that a number of times, and I'm just saying, that's terrific. And then you've got a whole lot of these types of corkscrews here. I'm going to hold it up to the microphone so people can hear it. This has everything you need on it. It's got a knife for cutting the foil. This style of corkscrew, which you guys make, is...
from Italy, and that one's our soft touch. And what's nice about it, there's a great feel to the item, as well as it has the knife on top, and then it has a Teflon-coated worm, which is, I believe, really important right now, or always has been. So it can work on many different types of corks, whether it's synthetic or regular.
Okay, so now the waiter pours you the wine. You don't like it, but it's not because the wine's turned. It's because you don't like the wine.
Right.
Is it okay to send it back?
Yes.
I say no.
Really?
No, I say no. You only send it back if it's turned. Unless, of course, maybe I would think that the sommelier or wine captain recommended something that clearly wasn't your style.
Right. And that's, I guess, what I mean. If it is recommended by the waiter or the sommelier and it's just no good, I have no problem of saying, I don't like this, and sending it back.
Okay, let's talk tasting. You are at a table where you've kind of collaborated on making a wine decision.
Mm-hmm.
And now the waiter comes out and is going to sample the wine for you. Who gets the sample?
Well, the person that picked out the bottle of wine should get the sample.
What if you and I were battling back and forth about it and settled on, shouldn't we both?
Then, yeah, we both get...
What if the waiter doesn't pour it for us? Should I ask?
I would ask.
Okay.
I have no problem asking.
All right.
And something that was unusual that I had seen recently that I had never seen before is the waiter poured a tasting to everybody at the table, which I thought was a little unusual.
I just saw that as well. In fact, not only did I just see it, I was with you when it happened. Remember, that guy was definitely trying to be politically correct.
I was a little surprised, not in a bad way, but I had never seen that before. And he poured a glass, a tasting for
everybody. Back in the corner, I heard them whispering. They're going, those are those radio guys from Grape Encounters. All right, last question. If the waiter brings you the bottle and it's already been opened and the cork is in it, the waiter, yay or nay?
I would send it back.
I'm sending it back.
I've never had that happen.
Have had it happen.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and especially out of state. And it happens. I'm sending it back. That's it.
Yeah, because you don't know. You might be drugged. They might be drugging you.
You know what? Actually, I do have one more question. Let's talk corkage fees.
Okay.
If you happen to know that restaurant just doesn't have a good selection of wine, you feel good about bringing your own bottle?
Of course.
And I think corkage fees are a great value, don't you?
Yes, I do it all the time.
And some people sneer at corkage fees, but the truth is they got to wash the glasses. They got to serve it. You're sitting on their chair. It seems fair.
Right. Plus, it's cheaper actually to bring your own bottle than buy probably the same bottle
always,
from them.
Always. You'll still come out ahead. And you know what? Offer your waiter a sip. That always kind of pacifies them. That's what I do. By the way, if you want all the really cool stuff for wine presentation, and it is just endless, it's epicstyle.com, right, Matt?
Yes, it is.
You have so many products, you're running out of room.
We are definitely running out of room.
Well, you know what? If people will go and buy it, then you won't have a problem. So epicstyle.com. Matt, thank you always for adding a touch of class to Grape Encounters Radio.
Thank you.
And coming up next, meet the brainchild behind these Saturday night chef fights. Well, they're actually the Sunday night chef fights. And the forgotten grapes. So much more to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio.
Where fermented meets demented. Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Great products and services for the wine-loving community is something we love telling you about on Grape Encounters Radio. And at the top of our list is the Original Wine of the Month Club. They've been around since 1972 and offer many great discounts, cellar master reviews, amazing assortments, and gift baskets. And it's easy to set up a gift membership for a wine lover near and dear to you. Visit GrapeEncountersRadio.com and click on the link from the homepage. That's where you'll also find the special promo code and save 15%. Another fun product on the GrapeEncountersRadio.com site is the Wine Rack from Papa Bird. The Wine Rack is a sports bra that you can fill with your favorite wine, enjoy your favorite beverage, and enhance your figure, ladies. A special promo code is available from our homepage. Click through, use it, and save 10% just for being part of the Grape Encounters Radio family. Don't miss out on any of the other great deals available to you when you visit GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Hey, listen, if you guys want to discover some really amazing wines, wines that I recommend with all my heart and soul, then you need to go over to sarlosandsons.com. Or better yet, if you're in Los Olivos, California, you just want to check out their tasting room because it's an incredible place to taste some incredible wines. They've just released the 2009 Mother, which is a Grenache Blanc that will blow your shorts off. Also, the 2009 In-Law, which is a whole cluster Pinot Noir, which is to die for. Also, the 2008 Father, which is 100% Syrah, and I love the Sarlos and Sons Syrahs, or the 2008 Sun, which is 100% estate-grown Cabernet. And finally, the 1947 Man and Wife, which is 100% estate-grown from two vineyards. That's just a part of the list. There's so many more wines for you to enjoy, but I can tell you absolutely and completely that you will love everything you taste at Sarlos and Sons. It's sarlosandsons.com.
You know, the world of Facebook is a lot like the world of Grape Encounters. Millions of people creating community and camaraderie through shared interests and connections. And honestly, who in their right mind doesn't love wine? That's why Grape Encounters Radio has created a group space for you to share your passion. If you're on Facebook and you have yet to join the Grape Encounters Radio group page, what are you waiting for? Thousands of your closest soon-to-be friends are there meeting others, having fun, sharing your own discoveries and experiences, and inspiring us with questions and ideas that help to make each new edition of Grape Encounters Radio the place to gather for a conversation among the wine-loving community. It's easy to join, and the price is right. It's free. All it takes is just a couple of moments of your time the next time you log into Facebook. Just enter Grape Encounters Radio into the search field, and there you are. And once you're our friend on Facebook, share the wealth. Let your family, friends, colleagues, and others who love wine know about your discovery, too. Many of the guests you enjoy hearing on Grape Encounters Radio made their way to the super secret broadcast location by way of our Facebook group page. Will you be next?
Hi, it's David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio. And you know, when I'm not up in wine country, my absolute favorite place, and I mean favorite place to go, is beautiful, enchanting Catalina Island. My goodness, if you haven't been to Catalina lately, you just don't know what you're missing. Catalina is a very wine-friendly island. All the restaurants have great wine lists, and Catalina even has its own vineyard now. Now, when I go to Catalina, I stay with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You can tour nearly 200 properties at CatalinaVacations.com. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals has everything you could want for every taste, from quaint cottages in Avalon to beautiful, stunning Hamilton Cove villas that even come with your own golf cart. You can make your reservation right online at CatalinaVacations.com, and really, the choices are nearly endless. Get away to Catalina Island today at CatalinaVacations.com.
When there's good wine involved, they'll always come back for more. Grape Encounters continues on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
And it's David Wilson back from a little romp through the vineyard and back with more of our conversations from our very impromptu visit to Wine Decanted last weekend at Fairplex in Pomona. Man, we had a great time, but the best part about it was meeting up with some people that I'd wanted to meet for a very long time, including the brainchild behind the Sunday night chef fights. Well, last week it was the Saturday night chef fights. And an organization called Friends of the Forgotten Grape. You will not believe, and I mean not believe, what this guy has come up with and how he relates forgotten grapes to pop icons. And now back to Fun Decanted at Fairplex. His name is Chris Kern. His company is Friends of the Forgotten Grapes. And the reason that I know his name is because he has this event called Sunday Night Chef Fights.
Absolutely.
Do I have that right, Chris?
You do, dead on. And I have to say, David, I am absolutely elated to be here and to be on Grape Encounters Radio
with you.
Dang,
I can't believe it. I have gotten Facebook posts about you. You got to meet this guy. I try. I swear I try.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, as I said. I'm glad you were here. I'm glad you actually got to see one of our chef fights in person.
I walked in, and the general manager of the Sheraton Fairplex pointed me to you, and I was so elated because you are one of the people on the list of people that I have not gotten around to calling.
It's nice to know that I exist on a list somewhere. Even if it's Z at this point, I'm happy to be on a list.
Okay, so it's Chris Kern, founder and number one friend of ForgottenGrapes.com. And then Friends of the Forgotten Grape is the name of your company, right?
So right, although I have to admit, we're in the process of a transition. We are revamping the website to do online wine sales in addition to the wine education that we provide on the site.
So why in the world do you want to get into wine sales?
We're going to focus on three areas. We're going to focus on the forgotten grapes, the forgotten varietals out there. And when I say forgotten varietals, I'm talking about everything that's not what I call the big eight. Cabernet, Merlot, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Sauv Blanc, Pinot Grigio, Zinfandel, Syrah, and Riesling. Now, there are nine there for those of you that are adept at counting, but if the
Why don't you just call them the Big Nine?
Because Big Eight rolls off the tongue better than Big Nine.
I got to say, Chris, that's a stupid reason.
If the Big Ten Conference can have 12 teams in it and still call themselves the Big Ten, I can have the Big Eight.
Okay, so on your website, are you going to sell wines that do not fall in those categories?
We are going to sell. We're going to focus on three areas. So we've got the forgotten varietals, as we talked about.
Okay.
We're also going to do forgotten regions, and we're going to do forgotten producers. Although forgotten producers are more of the boutique producers or those that don't have the more national marketing strategies or distribution. And my job is to open people's minds, expand their palates, introduce them to these new wines.
Well, the thing is this, if you just randomly buy wine from the grocery store that you're not familiar with, more often than not, you are not going to be happy with that wine. That's my opinion.
No, that's a completely fair assessment.
It gets worse when it's a varietal you're not familiar with because now you're doubling your odds of displeasure.
That's true. And what we do is we're trying to bridge the gap with the education. So we take these forgotten varietals and we utilize the key characteristics of them and find pop culture icons that actually have the same characteristics as these particular grapes.
I'm so confused. I have no idea what that means.
Well, a perfect example
is... You're going to explain this right.
I am, absolutely. Viognier, great example. We call that the Beyoncé of forgotten grapes because it's an absolute diva of a grape. It's very feminine, highly perfumed. The grape itself can be very difficult to grow. It was originally known as part of a trio with Marsan and Roussan, much like Beyoncé was in Destiny's Child, but it's really exploded out on its own as a solo artist.
Oh,
and I have to say it gets paired with a bigger, gruffer, more masculine grape in Syrah in the Great Cote Rôtie blends, much like Beyoncé is with Jay-Z.
Why am I sitting here and this makes total sense to me?
Wait till I get on the Snooki of forgotten grapes.
Well, good luck finding a Viognier in a supermarket. You'll find a Sauvignon Blanc.
You'll
or
find
something
a, and
like
a Pinot Grigio
Pinot
and a
Grigio,
Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly. Chardonnays I'm boycotting for the most part.
The only Chardonnays I like these days come from Oregon because I find Oregon is doing the unoaked Chardonnays.
Exactly.
Very crisp, very clean, lots of green apple flavors, beautiful, beautiful wines.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the unoaked Chardonnays are really wonderful. And it's hard to get people to try them because they got so turned off on the over-oaked Chardonnays to begin with. But now I'm noticing that the oak is starting to creep back in the Chardonnays again.
You know what? I think we're being too negative on this whole thing.
Let's get to the positive.
Let's not talk about the bad parts
stuff.
Of wine.
Right,
let's talk about positive.
Okay, so next up would be?
Name your pick. We can do January Jones. We can do Dolly Parton. We can do Charlie Sheen. We've got 50 of them
Everybody's
on the website.
Everybody's saying do Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton is great. Grenache Blanc is our Dolly Parton of Forgotten Grapes.
Pray tell why.
Well, Grenache Blanc, originally coming from the Rhone Valley, so a very country wine. If you have a good Grenache Blanc, you should be able to taste the stones and the dirt roads on it and you know, maybe even get a little sniff of horse
manure.
Not the
rolling stones, though, right?
No, no, nothing rolling. Although, if you take some of those galettes from Chateau Neuf de Pape and whatnot, you can skip them a country mile.
You mentioned horse manure, and people grimaced. But actually, that is kind of a nice smell. I grew up on a ranch.
Absolutely. And here's one of the
People
secrets.
People don't like to admit that.
No, and here's a secret for you folks out there. If you smell something like horse manure on a wine, we wine connoisseurs, we have a special name for that. We call that barnyard. So that has a barnyard scent to it. Much like if you picked up a glass and said, oh God, this tastes like dirt. It doesn't taste like dirt. It's earthy. It's an earthy wine.
Okay. It's all really how you look at it. I like your take.
Absolutely.
All right, so, but I still don't get the complete Dolly Parton connection because there are certain assets that she has.
Those are the same assets that a Grenache Blanc has, where it's got really, really big curves to it, in addition to that very country lifestyle.
Okay. But also very soft and sexy.
Very soft and sexy, very feminine. You're never going to mistake a Grenache Blanc for an aggressive style of white wine.
Now, I noticed walking around tonight, I saw a handful of Grenache Blancs, and had I done that 5 years ago, I would not have seen those.
Correct. One of the things I love about Fun to Can It is they get a tremendous amount of wines from all over California and the country, and particularly Paso Robles. I've seen a ton of Paso Robles wines here.
Yeah, a ton.
Yeah, a ton. And Paso is my favorite California appellation. I am a believer in Paso. I love Paso. I love going up there. And they do Rhone varietals like nowhere else. So you're getting your Viogniers, your Marsans, your Roussans, and your Grenache Blancs. Beautiful, beautiful wines.
I've got my guest, Chris Kern, here. He is from ForgottenGrapes.com. Tell me about the people that are serving wine here. There's no stinkers here.
You're absolutely right. I have tremendous respect for the wineries that are here. I have not seen any clunkers.
So to be here, they had to do what?
It's a wine competition, so they had to submit their wine to it, but the beauty of Fun to Can It is they take only the gold medal winners and the best in class.
Now let's talk a bit more about the Forgotten Grapes. You liken them to pop icons.
Yes.
You gave me two.
I did.
Beyonce and Dolly Parton. The Charlie Sheen, I'm really curious about this one.
Well, we used to combine Charlie Sheen and Alec Baldwin, and unfortunately we're going to have to drop Charlie because of his recent spell.
Why?
Let's call it a spell.
That would seem to be more of a reason to use him.
But it's not fair to the varietal. And the varietal we're talking about here is Carmenere. And it's actually one of those varietals that these days you can find at supermarkets and is fairly ubiquitous. And starting to kind of join the ranks of the non-forgotten grapes, if you will. But it was once one of the great noble grapes of Bordeaux. And then was thought to be extinct for about 100 years until it resurfaced in Chile, of all places. And Chile quickly embraced it and made it much more than it ever was in Bordeaux. Well, if you think about Charlie Sheen and Alec Baldwin, they were movie stars, had great careers. Then they had some missteps, Kim Basinger, Denise Richards, both of them kind of bottomed out and had to go to what was considered the wasteland for movie stars, which was television, but became even bigger stars in television. So it makes perfect sense to compare Carmenere to Charlie Sheen and Alec Baldwin.
That's lovely. That's absolutely lovely. So with your company then, when a grape gains notoriety, it's out. You throw it out.
Nothing is ever out.
It's popularity
Nothing
is not
is
popular
ever
with
out.
You. I'm concerned about one thing here. The superstars of your organization are the varietals that people may not be familiar with. Now, in your organization, you talk up these varietals and you make them better known to the public.
Absolutely.
And when that happens, they're no longer the sweethearts of your organization.
Oh, you're going for the band that you used to see at the club for $10 that then goes on to be No Doubt or Oingo
yeah,
Boingo.
Exactly. But I mean, you basically turn on these grapes is what you do.
I have never turned on a single grape. Grapes have turned on me.
Okay.
But I have never turned on a grape.
You know, grapes turn me on, too. All right, so let's talk about Sunday night chef fights, okay? Now, the chefs don't actually put on boxing gloves and hit each other,
although
right?
That would make an excellent show.
That'd
but
be
for
very good.
For liability's sake, unfortunately. Plus, when you get knives involved, it just gets really, really graphic.
But this is the ultimate food fight that
it
you have.
It is the ultimate food fight.
Let's
so
talk about it.
A Sunday night chef fight is a television-style cooking competition featuring two local chefs of renown cooking for a live studio studio audience who get to act as the judge, jury, and taste-acutioners.
How do you get to be those people?
To get to be one of those people, all you have to do is go to cheffights.com and purchase a ticket to one of our events. The beauty of the Sunday Night Chef Fight is that where on television or at a lot of cooking competitions, they have a tasting panel of celebrity food judges. We're all about liberty. We're all about democracy. We let the entire audience taste the chef's food and judge that.
And what better aspect of democracy than to make them pay to be judges?
Absolutely. And people love it because they're getting from each chef anywhere from 3 to 6 courses. You saw that Chef David Teague tonight did 6 courses.
What's this
going to
set me back?
$50, which...
$50? That's a lot of money, man.
Yeah, but for a 6-course dinner, and we also do our Vino Vidi Vici blind wine tasting challenge. So you're basically getting a great night out, and you're getting 2 chefs for the price of dinner at 1 restaurant.
I'm talking to Chris Kern. He is the brainchild behind Sunday Night Chef Fights. He is the operator of Friends of the Forgotten Grapes. Very interesting because he's doing something we do here on Grape Encounters Radio. We're telling you to just spread your wings and try some things that you haven't tried before. Experiment, for goodness sake, experiment.
Drink something different. That's our motto.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's Chris Kern. Check him out. You can go to ForgottenGrapes.com. You've not seen The Last of Us.
I don't think so. I think you and I are going to have to hang out a bit. It's going to start here in about 30 seconds when we go out and get a glass of wine,
right.
I think.
I think we're going to do something here next year. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you so much.
And coming up in just a moment, our crack reporter, Paul Crosswhite, reveals why people make the wine buying decisions that they make. Plus, a visit with the very interesting general manager of the Sheraton Fairplex as we stroll through the Fairplex Gardens. It's David Wilson and John Gilbert coming up next on Grape Encounters Radio.
So what if this one's empty? We've got plenty more. Grape Encounters Radio on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
All right, well, there's no denying it. I have a gadget fetish. I have so many gadgets in my kitchen, and I love wine gadgets, but, you know, there's one thing that I use really every single day. It's an essential, and I don't know if you can really call it a gadget. I think it is something absolutely necessary if you're going to enjoy your wine to the fullest. I was sent a Vinair wine aerator, and this really is, I think, the best design aerator that I've ever seen. For one thing, there's absolutely no drip. For another thing, the amount of air that it puts into your wine, it seems to be absolutely perfect. It does an awesome job of opening up your wine to the absolute fullest. And I really, truly love this product. I really, really do. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. We've put a button there for the Vinair. Please, please let your wine breathe. It'll thank you for it.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines of security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
And it's David Wilson here with Brooks Firestone and Stephen Pepe, and we wanted to tell you about the Cellar Classic. It's coming up when, Brooks?
July 30th. At the St. Mark's Church in Los Olivos in the middle of the wine country in Santa Ynez Valley. We're going to have a wine classic auction and a great time up here. Hope you join us.
And there's going to be some great stuff. Steve, tell them what they can expect.
Going to have some really world-class wines. You've got a 47 Cheval Blanc, a 75 Chateau.
Whoa. I thought that was for me.
No, I'm sorry, David. You can just look at it and drool, but you can't have it.
And that bottle's worth what?
It's easily in the the mid four figures, if not higher.
Ouch. And how many wines like that will you have at the Cellar Classic?
We'll have a fair number. We've also got a 1949 Leroy Moussinet, which is a very rare wine. We've got a double magnum of a 1989 Diamond Creek Volcanic Hill.
It's the Cellar Classic on July 30th. For more information, go to grapeencountersradio.com and click on the very expensive little button there.
Great products and services for the wine-loving community is something we love telling you about on Grape Encounters Radio. And at the top of our list is the Original Wine of the Month Club. They've been around since 1972 and offer many great discounts, cellar master reviews, amazing assortments, and gift baskets. And it's easy to set up a gift membership for a wine lover near and dear to you. Visit GrapeEncountersRadio.com and click on the link from the homepage. That's where you'll also find the special promo code and save 15%. Another fun product on the GrapeEncountersRadio.com site is the Wine Rack from Papa Bird. The Wine Rack is a sports bra that you can fill with your favorite wine, enjoy your favorite beverage, and enhance your figure, ladies. A special promo code is available from our homepage. Click through, use it, and save 10% just for being part of the Grape Encounters Radio family. Don't miss out on any of the other great deals available to you when you visit GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
There's something funny about this wine. Grape Encounters continues with David Wilson on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Ever wonder what secretly drives our wine choices? Why do we buy the wines we do? The reasons may be as complex as wine itself. For example, when shopping for ourselves, most of us will reach for a wine we feel safe and familiar with. That's pretty easy to understand. No risk, no anxiety. But let's say you're hosting some old friends and are trying to find a good wine for the occasion. That takes a little more thought. After scanning the market's wine section, you grab something funny, tasty, not too expensive, and go on to throw a great party. The stakes suddenly get much higher, though, when your picky boss and his wife are coming by for dinner. Once again, here at the store, trying not to panic, searching for a wine. Now, this is where the stress kicks in, since so much is on the line when you entertain the boss. Job security, a raise, possible promotion. Behavior experts say that in this situation, most of us will never go with the light, whimsical wine we choose for our friends, but instead we'll pick a wine that looks, quote, classy and expensive. Recently, researchers surveyed scores of Americans as part of a worldwide study of wine buying. They found that U.S. consumers faced with bewildering wine choices use the same selection methods as wine lovers in Europe and Asia. First, they look for a wine that they have prior experience with. The second strongest impulse is to follow the recommendation of a friend or someone who works at the store. The third reason that Americans choose a wine is the varietal of the wine itself. According to CBS News, meantime, how you buy your blend may well depend on your gender. When a man is struggling to locate just the right wine, he's more likely to ask for help, while a woman who is making up her mind will often base her choice on a wine's label. Women buy more than half the wine sold in America, so marketers know to attract female consumers with appealing and clever labels. Women are known to have special fondness for labels featuring cute animals, which are referred to by marketers as critter wines. Overall, U.S. wines are holding their own in tough economic times. After a two-year slump, domestic wine sales shot up 7% in 2010, and more restaurant patrons are ordering full bottles of wine instead of a single glass with their meals. What people are looking for when they choose a bottle of wine is an experience. Part of that experience may be the taste, a chance for romance, a good time with friends, a raise. But those in the know will tell you, when you choose a wine, you may have many reasons, but in the end, you are telling the world, this is who I am. Uncorked, I'm Paul Crosswhite for Grape Encounters.
Awesome story, Mr. Crosswhite. So appreciate it. Well, you know, we had an amazing time at Fun Decanted. Great wines, great people, great experiences. But you know what? It wasn't over yet. Turns out that John Gilbert, the general manager of the Sheraton Fairplex, had one more surprise in store for us, and it was a brunch for food writers and journalists out there in that very garden that we'd been talking about the night before. So John came over to the Sheraton, picked me up, swept me off to that very special garden, and we had an amazing brunch. Afterwards, I walked with John through the garden and reflected upon the evening before. want to talk a little bit about the wine event last night, first of all, because Fairplex has really got a big presence in the wine industry, don't they?
A lot of people don't realize that. The wine competition at the Los Angeles County Fair is one of the oldest juried wine competitions in the United States. And we've extended and expanded the competition to not only do wine, but we do spirits and we do olive oils from all over the world.
And everything that was served last night was award-winning wines.
They were all the most recent competitive award-winning wines from this last year's competition, which completed a little over a month ago.
Now, as I understand it, when you see an award there that says best in class, class can also mean the price point of the wine as well, can it not?
It can. The price point is one of the considerations they use in the competition.
That's what was so fun about the event. First of all, I noticed it was regular people walking around. There was nobody that seemed pretentious or uppity at the event. And it seemed to be that new class or generation of wine drinkers that we've been talking about on our show for a long time, the millennials and the young wine drinkers that are going, you know what, I just want to have good wine and I don't care if it has the essence of cassis and saddle leather.
Well, it was an event that allowed them to experience wines they would probably not even know of otherwise, and so many of them. And what they're searching out is what is the best tasting wine for them.
Right.
As you say, it doesn't have to be. I'll probably get killed for saying this, but typically never is the most expensive wine. It's what your palate enjoys. And that's what the event last night was all about.
I think it was cool because you could walk around and you could say, okay, I'm a person who only spends $25 for a bottle of red wine. And you could find that wine that had won a gold medal or a best in its class there.
Absolutely.
And you know, and I tried them, and I really think that the judging was pretty darn good. I think it was accurate, and the wines that had won awards really deserved it. So I guess I can say this, that if you're looking at wines, you know, you might go online and see who won what at the LA County Fair in the competition, and then choose your wines accordingly.
Yeah, you can go to the LA County Fairplex site, and they do have all the finalists, and all the rankings are all now listed. And not only can you get some great new values and realize them there, but you're going to see wines that you probably have never heard of before they entered this competition.
Yeah, and some that are actually easy to find as well. Now, you hear this in the background. John does not have a cold. We are really and truly walking through an urban farm right here. We're right in the middle of Pomona, and yet I'm looking at ducks. I'm looking at geese.
Well, as I could say, we're at Penelope's Duck Pond, and what we're hearing is tomorrow's fagua.
Is that really going to happen?
No.
It's not.
No. We tease people about it, but no, it's not going to happen.
Okay, so now I turn 180 degrees from the pond, and now I'm looking at one of the most luscious herb gardens that you will ever see. Everything you could ever imagine.
This is French tarragon. If you could just,
Yeah.
The essence explodes. And that's why we're having so much fun, is because we're taking all of these great spices and cooking with them. And it's been so much fun for our culinary staff to become very creative with this.
So there are 550-something acres here on the property.
There's 553 acres of LA County Fair.
And much of it is planted in edible plants that you use in the restaurant at the hotel.
Well, of this area that we call the farm, yes, and that's not 550 acres, but this compiles about 3 acres of land that we're using here on the fairgrounds for the orchards and vegetable gardens. Plus, we're planting in other areas around the fairgrounds.
Right.
Because they have a different climatic zone to them that we could only plant for.
You know, if there's any lesson to be learned here, it's this. That you can be sitting right smack in the middle of the city and you can plant and grow organic foods.
Absolutely.
With no trouble at all. And what John was saying was that they're actually planting strategically other edible foods around the Fairplex complex. Talk to me about mushrooms.
Well, we're going to start. We've located a couple areas we've designated that we're going to start cultivating mushrooms and morels up in that area. And then again, incorporate them into our dishes in our McKinley's restaurant. But just another fun aspect of things we can do and have fun with.
Okay, now we're standing in an area that has a great big outdoor barbecue, and then you have this covered area where you have a long table set up, and this is a site that you use for dinners where you bring dinner to the farm.
What we do here is we take the table and we bring it right in the middle of the farm and cook right in the middle of the farm. So the cuisine that that you're having here, other than obviously a lot of the proteins, but it's all coming right from our farm and garden here. Once a month, we'll do a winemaker's dinner out here, but we have done other events. What we do is we'll do the wine and pairing it with the food is very important, but we've done events for groups out here, special occasions we'll do out here. It's just turned out to be a wonderful environment because you don't believe you're in an urban area. You feel like you're almost in Northern California somewhere.
I want to kind of end this segment with this thought that if you have never discovered what they're doing at Fairplex in Los Angeles, you really ought to dig in and check it out. Because, for instance, if you're a company and you want to do a very unique event, they're building a major conference facility here, and I can't get into it right now, but I saw it, and it's breathtaking, mind-blowing, maybe the best thing in L.A. You want to say something so bad?
Well,
go for it.
It'll be completed in December of this year, and again, we're bringing a whole new experience that many people are just not aware of. So
anyway, John Gilbert, again, he is the general manager of the Sheraton at the Fairplex in Pomona. That's it for this week's Grape Encounters. More coming to you next week. Catch us online at grapeencountersradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Join us next week for more Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson here on grapeencountersradio.com. If you don't, we'll be crushed.